cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. It is Monday. Hi, my name is Ben Karpinski. I am back here on the Cliff Central morning show.
Hello, Ben Karpinski.
Hey, Leanne. Hello, Gugu.
What up, Ben?
Yeah, so this is your team for Monday. Gareth is in New York. Sia is in New York.
And guess who we are?
And we're here. And I absolutely blew Gugu's mind this morning because I was on time. He was like, wow. So this is what it's like when someone arrives here. And Gugu, to your credit, you're very professional. You're here, even though you're wearing a 5FM hat. You are here like early every morning.
Yeah, I'm normally the first one here. Today, I was here at 5:15. I'm on a bike today, so usually here at 5:30.
Pretty sexy bike as well, hey?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yamaha Katana.
Suzuki Katana.
I'm so close.
Yeah, close enough, Ben. You know your bikes.
Ben, you're supposed to be a motorbike person.
No, not really. I'm a commuter.
Okay.
Oh, you're a commuter.
Yeah,
dude, that thing is a thrill to ride. I promise you, it's just every time I get off, the adrenaline's like pumping. It's like, whew, I need to calm down.
And that's why you look so youthful. So, guys, we didn't have time to have like a pre-production meeting last week. So essentially, here we are. So today is the three of us. Who's here tomorrow, Gugu?
Tomorrow, geez, I got told this. Before Sia left, but it's slipped my mind now.
Damn it. There I was thinking that Gugu's got everything under control.
Right.
So the reason I'm bringing this up, of course, is because, you know, this obviously isn't a normal week here on Cliff Central. Main reason I'm here, which is obviously odd for you. But we're going to have a bit of a roaming, rolling.
I don't know. It's staggered, up to you.
Staggered cast of people coming in through the time. Wednesday, we have pre-recorded content, which you can enjoy.
Pure conversations.
Exactly. And then Tuesday, we've got, Gugu, still don't know.
We'll figure it out during the show.
I literally padded a minute there so you could find out. Nothing. Just not appreciated. Just went back to your coffee. Didn't give a shit.
Does that mean
that Gord gets off this week?
Gord's...
Again.
Gord, I don't know, man.
Gord can only do Wednesday, okay? So only do Wednesday. Mm. So we tried to move a few things around, but we couldn't. So there's no Gord this week. I'm really sorry. I know people have been saying, Ben, you and Gord must be on the show again. We love your interplay between two of you. But no, there'll be no Gord this week.
Oh, I'm so sad.
And Gugu, why are there no messages? Again, could this not have been done? You've been here since 5:15. You don't know who's in the show this week, and the message screen is basically just blank.
Can I just raise the point?
Back to you. I've got more faith in you. Gugu, please can you sort this out?
That Gugu is wearing a 5FM cap.
Something I did bring up as well.
And you're wearing a Kill Cliff t-shirt.
Yeah.
Huh. Well then.
Did you have that specially made?
No, it's a brand of energy drinks and things like that. And literally one of those very funny moments, you leave the house and you think of what you're wearing, because I haven't woken up this early to do something like this in quite a while. Normally I wake up at 6. That's my new life now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I wake up at 4:30. The cats were like, what the hell are you doing? And then I just got dressed semi-dark, you know, go for a shower. I don't want to be late. And this is what I was wearing.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes like subliminally, I don't know.
I think it's subliminal.
It was more a hand in the pile that I know is guaranteed clean clothing.
Okay.
And here I am.
There you are.
So, Leanne, okay, so you're here Monday and Tuesday?
No, Monday and Friday.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I can do Tuesday if you'd like me to. I'm around.
Resources looking quite low. But anyway, the show does go on. Resources low or not. Anthea will be here with the money shot.
Yes, I actually saw Anthea yesterday.
Ooh. Do you guys go to the same wine bar?
No, I was breakfasting.
Ooh, at the same wine bar?
No, not even a mimosa in sight. But she had met up with an old colleague in the finance industry. And
how old? Like 60, 70?
No, she wasn't old. She was just an old colleague. And then I had met up with an old radio friend. So
how old?
Also, again, not that old, Ben. Just old in years spent together in radio.
Okay.
And she said that her and her friend were skinnering about everyone in the industry. And I said we were doing exactly the same. It's a nice little catch up.
That's what everyone does, especially with, like, no matter what industry you're in, you get together and everyone's got gripes.
Yeah, and remember
that person. Oh, that bitch.
Whatever happened to this one?
Exactly.
Jeez, this one's turned into such a bitch.
So like any other Monday, we'll have Anthea. Anthea. And then we've got 7:30 now. Of course, people have been talking about offshore investments with the country sort of maybe going towards toilet status, sorry, junk status. Mm-hmm. And then you get like a Section J-12 that we've been discussing recently. So Jeff Miller, Chief Executive Officer of Grovest, he'll be returning for a little chat that he had with Gareth, which is obviously interesting because we've got to know about our money. If any of us have money, that is, because Monday we like to throw money at you, or money info at you.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of us still let you have it, well, it's a good thing to know what to do with it, right?
Not by the 14th.
I don't have money, Ben. It's the 14th. What? Well,
I was saying, like, in life, you know, obviously.
Oh, like in general.
Like if you have maybe investments, or you have money that you are investing or putting aside or planning for a future.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and then maybe this is it. You need to listen to Jeff. Oh, and then scientist Tim Noakes. Is Tim Noakes referred to as a scientist? Is that like his Twitter bio, scientist?
I have heard it.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know if he's a qualified scientist.
He is. Okay. So he's a scientist, and we're replaying an interview that Gareth had with him. And a long time ago, someone said that Tim Noakes looks like my dad.
Really?
If I were to maybe just be, I mean, my dad obviously looks like my dad, but if I was like double my age, I would kind of look like Tim Noakes.
I have to look at a picture.
I had a photo with him once, and it was uncanny. I looked like his kid. Which I still don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but you can listen to that as well.
Oh gosh, you do a little. Although he looks more like George W. Bush than he does you.
Well, the thing is, he's becoming more and more emaciated as he gets older. Look, I've got the slender gene.
I've got bigger genes.
I mean,
mine are stretchy.
We all have different size genes. Yeah, exactly. So that's your Monday. Messages, lots and lots of messages, as always, which is always very nice.
See, I got that right, Ben.
Well, you did, but Googie, they're displayed strange. I've got to click into every single one of them.
Yeah, that's what Gareth normally does.
Oh,
damn it.
God, what an absolute bollock this show has become. The show used to be easy. Whatever happened to it? How do I play the message?
Good question. Guys, please don't send voice notes. Ben doesn't know how to deal with them. Yeah,
you can send away and do all of these fun things. I will do it. And then we are going to be chatting to Gareth and Sia as well throughout the week, see what they're up to. I know Gareth was there for a conference, or he's going there for a conference.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I assume Sia's doing the same thing.
Yes, they are. And Rena's also with them. So it's like the three musketeers. And we'll see what they get up to. Sia actually went down a bit early. He went down for 2 days and spent some time in Washington. He hasn't been to the States at all, so I'm sure there's great excitement and huge stories from him. And I bet you he packed a trunk load of different things for his wardrobe.
Oh, I can imagine. Like I've been to Cape Town with Sia for like literally one day, or like an overnight kind of thing at a push. And it is. He's got like outfits for certain times. He can change twice in a day.
Sounds bipolar.
Well, it's because Sia believes every single day is like an award ceremony, right? So he breaks up into compartments. So if we go into a certain meeting, he'll be dressed like so. If we go to another meeting, then he'll accessorize with something else. And then, of course, in his whole man bag, which is pretty much the size of, well, half of him. Mm-hmm. There's different fragrances. There is
always moisturizers.
Moisturized touch-ups. And
lip balms.
And then there's people he focuses on to talk to.
What do you mean, focuses on to talk to?
Yeah, because when he goes to the place, he knows who the important people are.
Yeah.
And then, so, I mean, you can knock all he wants, but I think
so. No, I think it's great. He's got a good plan.
He does have a good plan. I tell you who doesn't have a good plan is this Mr. SA. Remember last year? All this Mr. Yes. SA contestants, people were piling into how crap it was. Like,
yes.
They looked like really budget, kind of pretty scruffy individuals. And the organizers were like, I can't believe people have turned on these men so quickly. They're role models and they're just trying to do their best. But like, no one was buying it because Mr. SA has never been anything prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, everyone was just pulling the piss out of it. Well, the next...
Is it time again for the new one?
The next string of contestants have come out for the 2020 Mr. South Africa, right? And again, like I kind of feel bad because we went through this last year. We had this big discussion. We put these pictures up and everyone had a good laugh. And I look at this and I find myself kind of laughing in kind of a way that we know we laugh at the butcherler. But then, and obviously social media in SA, as dark, twisted and sort of cesspool-like as it is, there's still some funny things, huh? So look how old one of the contestants is.
That's someone's father.
He might not be old. He's just prematurely gray, perhaps.
That looks like, I don't know, that looks like Adrian Steed's like bridge partner.
I've never seen a Mr. or Mrs. or Miss South Africa with naturally grey hair before, I must admit. It's a bit strange.
Okay, sure. But like, we can't go too much into this because I still think it's a bit of a joke. I'm sorry, whoever is the head of Mr. SA.
He's Mr. SA to you.
Mr. SA. Someone, his name escapes me at this moment in time. But apparently there's no age cutoff. You must be older than 20.
Yeah.
And you go for it. But obviously Miss SA, which I hate to break this to you in any sort of subjective way, but Miss SA is very much as a pageant, as in you have to be of a certain category.
Yeah.
Because you need to be of a certain look. So therefore you need to be young, because nobody really wants to look at old people, and men or women. But if we're doing this, no one wants to look at me. I wouldn't look at me and Mr. SA.
I wouldn't look at you either, Ben.
Exactly. Yeah. You are 26.
Yeah.
So you got time on your side. You are more of a Mr. SA candidate.
Than this guy.
So then they wheel Grandpa out here. And again, like, nothing against this guy. I'm pretty sure he can probably run a 5K faster than me. He probably can.
He's,
I don't know.
He's the type of guy I would go for.
But exactly. Oh, look at that. Okay, this is the point I was getting to, right? Mm. What is Mr. SA's real sort of like game? Are they just going for a very wide audience where they can go, someone like Leanne, who's a bit, you know, she likes her meat a bit more mature.
Right. Mm. Tender.
Is she now going to be a fan of Mr. SA because they've got some doddery old granddad in there? I don't know.
I don't know, Leanne.
It just seems.
It wouldn't change me. I'd look at the picture once and then never watch the pageant.
Okay.
The end.
Well, there we go. Mr. SA's big quest to widen the audience has not really worked. But obviously, I still listen to the show quite a lot. And a few weeks back, you guys gave a very cursory kind of glance at The Bachelor, the new Bachelor.
Ooh.
I can see why, because we were so tired of the first one, right?
Yeah, because we went all in, and we literally... Also, why is it not The Bachelorette now?
Well, Leanne, that's the question you guys failed to ask when you went through it with Gareth, okay? Why isn't it? It was the timing was incredible for Mnet to do the right thing. There was the whole thing against women violence, the whole good thing point, about, man, you know, women being obviously not appreciated or respected in this country. So what did Mnet do? They went
with another white male.
Brew. Now, just to recap on what happened in the last season of The Bachelor.
So how are you feeling?
I'm nervous.
Nervous? It's an understatement.
So. I'm very
What's
anxious.
Up, Leah?
Anxious.
Yes. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling emotional and really nervous as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tough day.
Yeah.
God, I'm so gripped.
Which is on our relationship began with you stepping out the limo, walking down the red carpet.
Yeah, so it wasn't the most gripping.
No, I can't anymore. I feel like
it was a sneaky little player, that one, hey?
Yeah, well,
he could get all emotional and stuff. Oh.
Yeah, but Googie, so I mean, sorry. Sure, I sneaky know. Little player, because you didn't even pick a girl in the end. It was a mess.
Oh, man.
So that wasn't the best thing to end on. So surely, maybe find one of the girls from, and I'm not saying this as like one of those like token girl power, all that kind of crap, because we're way past that. I mean, we can't patronize women with token gestures, but surely take one of those women who know what goes into these shows. They've been part of the production. They've been part, audiences already kind of identified who they are. Take one of them and make a bachelorette. Because now we've got women in a more empowered position on TV. But no, they went with another white male. I've got nothing against white males. I am a white male.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Ben.
I thought I'd remind you of that. Sometimes I just don't see. So this is the new Butchler.
Hi, I'm Mark Brent Buckner, and I am The Bachelor for 2020.
Oh, so, thank goodness he's got a good accent. A normal accent.
First plus.
How do I let someone know that I'm into them? I guess I would be more tactile. I would message very often.
No, don't do that.
Not too often. I'm not a stalker. And...
Yeah. Okay, Leanne, so it's the only woman in the room so far.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Are you drawn to this guy? Sorry, I've already forgotten his name. Mark is Mark.
Okay, are you saying?
Yeah.
Are you saying I need? Am I comparing him to the previous one?
No, basic attraction
based on
here.
His merits.
Basic attraction.
Because obviously I showed you the pictures of Mr. SA starting very low this morning. Didn't really wet your whistle. Now I'm kind of going a little bit harder. Is Mark going to get you to watch the show from what you've just heard?
Yeah, get all cuddly.
Well, the thing is, I know I'm not going to get him, so why would I watch it?
I don't know. It's aspirational, I guess, you know? Can only dream, Leah. Right,
yeah.
I mean, don't sell yourself short. What?
Look, I'm going to watch it anyway because it's part of my job. Okay.
Well, I don't think Gareth's going to give a toss about this series, so you don't have to give yourself the horror.
But I don't know if I would watch it ordinarily.
Like, I just think, like, I totally get mainstream media, mainstream corporations and broadcasters. They have to play it kind of safe with certain things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially nowadays where people are going to judge everything, you've got to play it safe. You kind of know what you're going to get out of it and always kind of create, I guess, not that there's a business model towards this, but I imagine how these things go is that in their minds, they're going, we need to create like a 70% show, like a 70% something, because it's going to be slightly entertaining, but not overly offensive, and we can control the outcome, and we kind of know what we're getting at here. But really,
there must be a reason behind it.
Another wife
favorite
mail.
Way to spend the weekend is definitely with friends. I go to the markets a lot. I do my shopping at the market, Saturday, Sunday market.
Okay, so he's a Cape Town vegan.
Oh, he sounds boring as shit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure this guy is lovely, just like that old guy I showed Leanne just now. Mm-hmm. But it's just not how you build a brand. Like, as much as we'd pull the piss out of the Australians, they know what to do with these reality TV shows, right? It's like, if you were just put on this earth right now, you would think that the Australians had invented cooking. That is how many cooking yes. shows they have. If you were to be put on this earth right now and work out how do you get to the point of coitus, you would think Australians literally have invented romance. They have done so well with these shows.
Yeah, and now they've also got Australia's Got Talent. They're really upping the game.
Exactly. As a sports person, I always get pissed off at how we are regressing as a country. And now the fact that the Aussies can overtake us in culture, entertainment, and basic kind of humor as well.
Damn it.
We've got to look ourselves in the mirror, South Africa, right now on the 14th of October and say, what is really going on here? Okay. Wait, hang on. Last bit from Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the craziest thing you've done in the name of love?
The name of love is walk across a very wobbly bridge in order to do a tandem bungee jump. I thought the rope was going to break. So a relationship no-no for me is...
It'll be a tough watch.
How are you feeling there, Ben?
I'm not watching this.
Look, dude, I watched the first one all the way from the beginning to the end, but this is, yeah, right at the bottom. I'm not going to watch that, Ben.
I would sooner watch Mr. South Africa. Is there going to be a live feed on Mr. South Africa? Mr. South Africa, please let us know. I'll watch that. I'll definitely watch that.
I see there's a thing now where guys are posting the worst photographs of themselves and hashtagging Mr. South Africa. Garth Breitenbach, the South African actor.
Yeah, we'll just go with Garth.
Posted the most fucked up weird photograph of himself with hair and beard all over.
Well, that's not too hard. Just read the Bachelor here on the messages. Have you guys watched Love Island UK? Yeah, that's another thing. All those orange people going to these islands.
Yes.
Good, get your shit together. Ben's back when the show actually starts at 6.
I've got you, Ben.
What are we trying to do here?
I'm trying to get the messages to come through.
Okay, but if you don't know what you're doing, then don't...
I know what I'm doing. Okay, trust me, Ben.
Because it's really odd if we're going to do this for 3 minutes and you don't know what's going on.
Try it now.
You do realize that Orcs 2 is... Apologies for this. Good, now I've lost the message.
Try it again, Ben. I've got you, man.
Okay, so constructive criticism on how the show is nowadays. This message screen is stupid. I've got to click into every single one of these things. That's just too much, Gugu.
I found it like this. I don't know, man.
Okay. All right.
I just work here, Ben, you know?
Okay.
Just come in here every morning diligently.
There we go.
See, I got you. I told you I had you.
I'm a lesbian.
I am actually pansexual.
I am transgender. I'm a fidget spinner.
Oh, gosh. Make it stop. Okay, screw it. We're not doing messages for the first hour. I need to get my head around this because it's just a little bit too much. God, I sound old when I say that way. Hang on. What's this?
On the immature topic of Friday.
No, that's an old message.
But you were here on Friday.
Yeah, I know, but now Googie, I'm trying to access the screen and there's just too much going on.
Okay, moving on. Oh, Ben. Oh, gosh. Get me tired at times.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, how was your weekend, Ben?
It was good, guys. I played golf over the weekend. You know, it's the most beautiful time of the year here in Johannesburg. Obviously, everything's turning green.
Ah.
The jacarandas are out in their purple glory.
The who?
The jacaranda trees.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a bash.
But it is. It's perfect. But why is it just short season?
I know. Well, it makes us look forward to it even more.
Because it's just, it comes and it goes. You know, obviously purple's not a big color fashion-wise, unless you're in like certain parts of Pretoria. But it's a lovely color in nature, though.
I did a purple accent nail for the jacarandas.
Gosh, Leanne, there's a lot going on in your life, eh? How did you get that right? Yeah, it was quite nice. Some friends of mine and I have started this thing on Friday where we go for Friday drinks now.
Ooh.
We're making it like a weekly tradition.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, it's quite a novel kind of idea because I've obviously been very reclusive in the last few years. Don't go out a whole bunch.
Mm.
I was either kind of working or, you know, I'm just quite a reclusive person. So now to kind of like fixate on this kind of thing, like go do this, go do that. That's why, I'm not doing October. We spoke about this on Friday. But it's very kind of cool, interesting to kind of just make a plan to go out with certain people and start engaging people again. Mm. Really nice.
I'm in the same boat as you. I've also been a bit hermity.
Yeah, you're a very reclusive person.
And this weekend I had one of the busiest of my life.
Oh, gosh, Leanne.
So, yeah, it all started off on Thursday night with the opening of the Whippet, who are my tenants in Melville.
Your tenants? Do you own a nightclub, a building?
A building.
Mm. Gosh, Leanne.
She owns a thing or two.
Yeah.
Here she is talking about her J17 not being in place. Meanwhile, balling.
Yeah, but listen, when money's tied up in a building, it's a bit different.
Literally, yeah.
Well,
it's better having that than having red ants.
Yes, that's for sure. Okay. And then my mum's school friends that she's known since she was 5 years old, and she's 67 now, so they've known each other for 60 years, basically. Flew up and drove up from all different parts of South Africa to be with her this weekend just to catch up and kuier, you know. And it was just amazing seeing how they're all still friends after all these years. Mm. So we did a lot. We had every meal together. So it was breakfasts and lunches and
the Last Supper.
Yeah, it was really amazing. So that was quite a bit of fun.
So Leanne, do you have like your own table at this place now? I mean, do they look at you and go, look, there's Leanne?
I have an account. I don't have a table, though. Considered any table.
Nice. So Cliff Central team building, Christmas for end of year, we go there.
Ah, good idea, Ben.
That would be great, yeah. It is a morning, it's a breakfast and lunch vibe, though.
Yeah, but you know the people.
Mm-hmm.
Can make it a nighttime thing.
Oh.
Are you guys even having this? Has that been discussed yet? Are you guys having an interview?
I haven't heard anything.
I don't know. I just work here. Like, they don't tell me these things, you know? Like, treat me like the minion in this place. Just like things just get said and done, and I just find out after the fact, and I just have to figure it out. I don't know.
Have you figured out your new living situation?
I have.
Your areas.
I did move.
I know, Google. That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, you listen. You listen to the show.
So your new ecosystem is there. You know where you're going.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't like change. That's the one thing I've recently learned about myself, that I hate change. But learning that kind of helped a lot, because then I realized when I did move why I was feeling so iffy about the whole thing. But yeah, I'm learning slowly but surely, learning the back roots. It's a bit further from work, though. But yeah, I like the peace. I like the area. Trying not to fight with the neighbors as much as I previously have done.
Yeah, you sound like trouble. But now the thing about you moving is that you're at a stage now where a lot of millennials are now calling a quarter-life crisis. That's the thing. Trust me on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I'm your millennial consultant, but the people, millennials are actually complaining that they're going through these, the three quarters of millennials are having a quarter-life crisis right now. So Google, where you are right now, you are just, you're mostly experiencing unsettled feelings, panic, stress, all those kind of things.
I think I went through that last year, Ben.
Okay, so you would have been 25. So that would be exactly true to this theory. Yeah.
At 25, I decided I don't have any kids. I don't have a wife. I drive a car.
Jeepers, some people love that.
Yeah, but then I said to myself, I'm selling this car and I'm getting a super bike. Okay. Thank goodness I didn't.
Yes.
But I was very close.
So one of the big reasons for millennials having quarter life crisis is that they do believe that at this stage they would have had a car, they would have had a house, enough money to buy either, of course, and that they would probably be in a sustainable, long-term, purposeful relationship and or have children.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. So if you see a millennial today looking really flustered...
Give them a hug.
No, don't give them a hug because you'll get sued or you'll be fired.
No, don't give me a hug.
So, it's an interesting thing though because as you said, like, and I'm 12 years older than you.
Yeah.
So it's too late for me to have a quarter life crisis. I missed that boat. It's gone.
Oh, it's coming.
I had mine at like 27.
See, so you guys are classic millennials. I'm not. I've got to wait until my half life crisis, midlife crisis.
Where is that at 50?
Whatever possibilities there are, I'll have all of them.
You're going to have all the crises, Leah. You're excited for all of them. Just crisis me up. Yeah, but another thing that giving a lot of millennials stress, and I thought this was also an interesting sort of study. Now, you do get these crackpot doctors who just basically are mostly unemployed, but they maybe went to a couple of medical school lectures. But this study is actually an interesting one because something that I find so great about podcasts and why I really like podcasts, like I said to you last week, this podcast right here, obviously when I'm not on it, when all you guys are, and the Joe Rogan Experience are my two favorite things because there's not a lot of choice in how you go about it. You want to listen to something? You literally download it, you press play. Choice is gone, and you get a variety of entertainment, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
Netflix, though, is an absolute shit show. You get onto that page, and it's like, I have no idea what to watch. And the worst thing
I know. I know the feeling.
So now I'm sounding like a millennial, but I'll carry on.
Go on.
So you get to a point where you're like, you make dinner, now you're going to watch a show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you live by yourself, this is common practice, I guess. By the time you click through all these different things, dinner is now cold, you still have no idea what you're watching, and the anxiety has now grown to a level where you're actually not having a lot of fun. But the Netflix interface is like anything, right? Menus at restaurants, choices of things you need to buy, all kinds of things. Like when you buy stuff, you got to accessorize it, like a car or whatever. And it's giving people so much anxiety that they really are struggling. So now not only are you battling with the whole thing about you should have had these things in your life, supposedly, according to your ideals as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids are stupid. You have no idea what life is about or costs. So therefore, you'll always have these lofty aspirations. But the sheer choice of the matter is something that's just driving people dilly.
Do you think, I mean, you've been in a relationship. You're not in one now, but that whole situation of getting onto Netflix and not knowing what to watch with a partner, it's a lot easier, is it not?
Well, it's part of the foreplay. the whole thing about Netflix and chill, like, I mean, like hi, Rob, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. So he would invite someone around, you'd pick something on Netflix, but that's part of the whole ice-breaking foreplay of you now being on a couch and initiating some general touching areas.
So then what do? Put on a rom-com?
Maybe in the end. I mean, I'm a big rom-com fan. Sure, I'll do it all day.
Okay.
But when you buy yourself, general entertainment, millennialing, then it's not so cool.
Yeah, it sucks. We'll get through it though.
Okay, good
we'll
news.
Survive.
Good news.
Always the victims.
Always. Yeah, so hard.
We'll survive.
Oh, dear you. So Google's managed to figure out the voice messages. So you can still send them through. 079-748-2090. If you're overseas, then, I don't know, add a code. +7, +27. So here's a message. Oh, by the way, Leanne, this person who sent this message also said, Leanne, Google that story of the Koh Tao murders.
Koh Tao?
Hmm? Yeah, it's an island in Thailand. See, what an amazing show. You get to actually then, you get to present the next part of the show by telling Leanne, Google the story. Okay, here's a voice note.
Good morning, Ben. It's Eddie here.
Oh, Eddie.
So, Ben, I'm on Koh Tao Island, and I want to hear all about your experience. You told me that you were here when you were much younger, and you were here for 2 weeks. What did you do during your time, and why would you never come back? Oh, and another thing, Ben, just out of interest, back in 2014, two people got murdered on this specific island where I am located right now, and the murderer is still, to this day, roaming around the island. Sounds like some weird horror movie, right? Yeah. But other than that, it's really beautiful. I just want to hear everything you did. I don't know if you know about this killer, but I don't think that the killer has been caught. But, I mean, it's still fairly safe. I'm not really much paranoid, but, I mean, just the thought of it freaks me out. It's great to have you back on air. Awesome, Ben. Enjoy.
All right.
Okay, so here's an update.
That's Eddie. Yeah.
They were caught. They were found guilty of murdering a pair of British tourists in Thailand in 2014.
I remember the story, yeah. I remember it like it was 2014.
They've already been in court and everything. It's two men who were convicted. They are Wai Pyo and Zor Lin. And they were denied killing David Miller and raping and killing Hannah Withridge. However, lawyers for the two men have claimed the evidence in the case was mishandled and they made their confessions under duress. Therefore, the death penalty against them has been upheld.
So they're going to get executed.
Yeah, well, they've lost their it's their final appeal and they've lost it.
Okay, yeah, because I'd be surprised if they haven't found the killers, Eddie, because as you know, like, Koh Tao's not huge unless you literally are scuba diving 24/7 so you're under the water, no one can see you. Like, it's a small island. If you can't catch a killer, then you've got the world's worst detectives. Koh Tao is amazing, right? It really is. So, off the Gulf of Thailand, I'll get into this maybe. Wait, sorry, it's 6:30.
That's okay.
We need to go for it.
We need to get into the five things you need to know. Maybe this is the sixth thing you need to know.
Yeah.
Koh Tao.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you don't know, like, there's the Gulf of Thailand. So, you go down from Bangkok into the ocean, and there's a series of islands scattered around that area. Not great for typhoon season. Great if you want to get your jawline. Mm. So, there's three of them that are, like, the main ones. There's Koh Phangan, Koh Tao, Koh Samui. And Koh Tao is quite small, and it used to be very, very, like, rustic. I'm sure it is kind of still now, purely because it's quite remote. Like, you've got to go there in a ferry. Ooh. It's a bit of a ball ache to get to, but it's beautiful. Like, you literally can just, like, put a little snorkel mask on, and you can see, like, amazing fish, and there's all kinds of other trips you can do. And it's cool. Like, there's one little road, and I say little road as in, like, there's no real cars. And then on the left, you've got, like, the beach. On the right, you've got places you can stay. And there's beach bars. And it's a really cool, festive place. But I went there when I was young with my housemate at the time, a whole bunch of mates. Did way too many mushrooms. Partied far too hard with Australians. And it was a very special time in life. Like, crashing quad bikes. There are a lot of things maybe I wouldn't...
In retrospect, I'm seeing your face go... In retrospect, I probably wouldn't have done some of those things.
Sure, no, definitely not. No, it was a tough time. I mean, I almost got attacked I kind of lost my friends one night. So I almost got attacked by, like, a pack of wild dogs because the stray dogs, they've totally unionized.
Yeah.
It's like, they've turned.
They are. I mean, they are a committed band of pack animals, those dogs.
Damn, like, rebels.
Back in their genetics, all the DNA is suggesting, like, they were going to take me off. Luckily, I was drinking at a Chang Court at every single moment of being there back in my 20s. So I had to fend a couple of dogs off. But it was a rough place. It wasn't a rough place. We were rough people.
I think you guys made it a rough place.
It was us, a bunch of Aussies. And because Australians live in such a horrible, mollycoddle nanny state, when they go to, like, Bali or Thailand, these are the guys who will always find the drugs. These are the guys who will always take too many of the drugs. These are the guys who are they're great to party with. They're like Kenyan pace setters. They'll always make sure you get over the line faster than you ever expected. So, Eddie, you know what? Like, quite a lot of us are blur. All I know is that when I left there the one day to go back to the mainland to catch a train back to Bangkok, it was like the perfect storm. I was in one of those catamaran things, and I think I literally vomited up everything that was in my system for like 10 days. I've never felt so ill. I thought I was going to die, and I probably wouldn't go back. It was one of those places where you left it all out in the field.
Leave those memories there.
Left it all out in the field, coach. I can't go back in for any more.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my Koh Tao experience. But it is a beautiful place. If you don't party with Australians or get murdered,
or do mushrooms.
I mean, like, looks, all depends on who you are and how you do these things.
Okay.
Okay, we need to get to the five things that we need to know. Now, Leanne has five things.
I do.
Hello, Leanne.
Hello. Right.
Google, I told you to give her the five things you need to know.
I did. I've got them. She's got them.
Why are you acting so surprised? Guys, Anthea's here. We've got to be professional.
Did okay. I act surprised?
You did. You were like, oh, I do?
Oh, no.
Anthea's looking at this going, oh, God, and Gareth's not here. It's just so amateur. It's
amateurs.
Okay, so story number one.
Yeah, story number one.
Everything is in place for the 2019 matric exams.
Oh, what a relief.
Yes, people, they're very close now, on their way. Pupils begin writing this week, beginning with computer application technology exam on Wednesday.
Ooh, CAT.
Yeah. So the Gauteng MEC for Education, Panyaza Lesufi, says these examinations need to be fair. I should hope so. She says, indeed, we are combat ready. We have to ensure that the exams are fair.
You say she.
Did I? Did I?
Did she?
Carry on.
Oh, sorry. Indeed, we are combat ready. We have to ensure that the exams are fair and the invigilation is very strong because these days we are fighting technology. We are quite ready. We believe the children are ready and we've invested in them. We must make them proud.
So obviously fair meaning people don't cheat, or fair is we're going to give these dumbasses easy questions?
No.
Because, I mean, this
the
is...
The former.
Isn't Panyaza Lesufi very much like a 30%er?
Perhaps.
Because whenever I hear his name, the jibes come out about being a 30% is good enough kind of thing.
Mm.
Anyway, let me not stir the pot. Carry on, Leanne. Doing well.
Swanet pupils, meanwhile, have signed a pledge not to compromise the matric exams.
Yo, that's where you know you're dodgy.
Because that's one of the areas where papers have been leaked many times in the past.
So they've signed a pledge not to cheat.
Yeah. Huh. Can you believe it?
You do you, South Africa.
It ensures that they don't do or bring things that will compromise the exams. In one area 2 years ago, some of the learners got leaked papers that also leaked in Limpopo. The reason why we made this pledge, he says, is because to reiterate to our children to refrain from participating in activities that will compromise the examination. Okay, then President Cyril Ramaphosa has arrived in London for a 2-day working visit.
Ah, okay, nice.
He's being accompanied by Small Business Development Minister Nkombozi Shabeni. He's also been accompanied by the Presidential Special Envoy on Investment, Lebisi Jonas, and he is scheduled to deliver the opening address at the 6th Financial Times Africa Summit. That's today.
I'd kind of like to know what his big gambit is. Like, what's Cyril going over there to sell? Maybe we can chat to Anthea about this. Because we're not going to listen to his whole speech, obviously. But I mean, like, if you're going, let's just really, really break this down to base level. If you're going to go ask your parents for money as a kid, I don't know, to buy a bike or something, you got to have something, right?
A little bit of a business plan.
I would love to know what Cyril and crew have. Like, what's their thing? You can't just play a PJ Powers song and say we've got a nice place to come to. Like, you've got to have something because this world is so competitive with investment opportunities. Like, Eastern Europe will bend over backwards for you. Asia will kind of do the same. South America, not so much. Anyway, we'll chat to Anthea about this.
So what do we have to offer is the question.
You know, because it's Money Monday right here.
Yes. Google,
we got a hashtag.
Cash Money, yeah. Money Monday.
Money Monday.
There we go. Social media, go for it.
This is more your sphere, Ben, your realm. Japan to advance to the first World Cup quarterfinal.
How do you feel about that, Ben?
Well, you don't take my sports stories. I'm going to do sports.
Okay, yeah, moving
right
along.
Why don't you talk about Cyclone Hibiscus or something?
We're gonna leave that to Ben.
There's the third thing you need to know. Leanne's trying to steal the sport.
A taxify driver. Do you use taxify?
I don't know. I think taxify is also changing to Bolt.
It is. It has changed. I use both Uber and taxify. They have changed to Bolt.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, a taxify driver who was shot.
Oh, no.
Claims that he's been framed by police.
Ooh.
He was shot 5 times, but then he was charged with attempted murder. Kanyiso Nkobo had been dropping off a passenger in Umlazi last month. He doesn't remember much about the night of the 26th of September, but he says he won't forget the deafening gunfire. He said, I tried jumping off, but I was shot already. This is what I remember. After that, I woke up in hospital because they didn't notice. They didn't do anything. They just shot us. He's talking about the police, who, according to case details, were pursuing a hijacked car. But the vehicle that Nkobo was driving is legally registered to his brother.
I think it's all too common that we hear these stories. I met a guy who, I mean, he's a young guy, younger than me. He went through the same thing. Went to a BMW dealership to test drive a car with a group of people. They were doing a review on the car. Next thing they know, they're being chased by a random unmarked car and being shot at.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that. And they got shot at. Luckily, all the bullets missed, but it turned out these were cops thinking that this car is stolen.
So what, do they run something, the number plates through there? But it wouldn't have had number plates, surely.
Well, I suppose, yeah, if it's a new car off the floor. But I mean, how do you make such a mistake? What if you kill someone?
Jeez. That's a huge risk. Well, I mean, not only that, but he had a passenger in the car who was also shot and is still in a critical condition. So, yeah, when he woke up, this driver, he woke up in hospital, he was told he was being charged with attempted murder for opening fire on the police. He has been released on a warning until his next court appearance. He's insisting that he's being framed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when they realized they made a mistake, they knew this was going to put them in trouble. That's why they've done this. They said they found a gun in my car and I was shooting at them. If you look at the car, the window is not broken. I don't know how I was going to shoot them because I closed my window.
Dude.
The attorney says that it's telling that his client wasn't charged with the possession of an unlicensed firearm. So there was no gun. There was just a mention.
This sounds so messy.
It makes me angry because it's exactly the same story this guy was telling me.
Yeah.
They turned the whole thing around and made the victims to be the perpetrators. And I said to this guy, what if one of you were armed and actually shot back? What then?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if someone's shooting at you, you have
every right. In an unmarked car.
Yeah. You have every right to defend yourself. Then what?
Jeez. That is hectic. Okay.
Sure. Just going to say, Sally, the first hour is going to be a little longer than the first hour today. Carry on, Leanne.
Okay. thanks for the service announcement.
Just such long stories. Right. Gripping stuff. You got to know what's happening out there. Carry on.
And finally, the SABC and SAFA have announced a 4-year agreement to broadcast six...
All right, Leanne, more sport. Jeepers, why am I even here?
I'll just go home, Ben. It's finished. I don't need you over here.
I don't feel like talking anymore.
No, carry on, because I know this has been a big issue that SABC can't actually put on any sport. The national provider provides no sport, which is a bit shitty.
So there's a 4-year agreement in place to broadcast 6 Bafana Bafana matches, 5 Banyana Banyana matches, and a number of lower division games as well. So you'll get your sport fix on SABC. To an extent.
Well, to an extent, if you're into Bafana Bafana games. I know Bafana Bafana took on Mali this weekend. Gugu, do you watch that game?
Dude, the scary truth about this show is that ever since you left, no one here cares about sports.
Yeah, well,
neither do I, unfortunately.
You've got to get us back into it, Ben.
Hate to break it to you. When I was here, no one cared about sport either. But hey, it is Monday.
At least we knew what was going on in the back of our heads, you know?
Right. I just don't think you guys know that either.
School us, Ben.
So it was a hell of a weekend because people were running marathons very, very fast. Now, we all last year marveled at the feat of Eliud Kipchoge. He ran the Berlin Marathon in 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. So basically, this guy is the Usain Bolt of distance running. He's a little bit bigger than the rest. He's like a freak of nature, and he is just sensational. He only really lost one marathon in his whole life. He kind of just got into it, and he's just been amazing. He's Kenyan, of course, so that means that he ran 27.
So he always came first, not even like second.
I don't know. Never spoken to his wife, but Leanne, just stick it to the sport, please. You've already tried to derail my sport. Now you're doing it again. So he has just been amazing ever since the beginning. And everybody wants to have these really great milestones in sport, you know, break through the barriers, like the, as people say, the Neil Armstrong man of the moon moment. Like, what is it? So back in the day, Roger Bannister is a great story, which I've brought up in the show many times. He was the first guy to go under 4 minutes for a mile. Now, Google, a mile is how long in meters?
It's longer than a kilometer.
Is it a kilometer or roundabout?
1,602 meters to be exact.
So a kilometer and a half.
Exact. Just over 1.5.
Yeah. Oh. Four laps. Hey, Anthea, 4 laps of the track.
That's right.
Okay, very good. There we go. Interactive radio right there. Yeah. Anthea's in. So he had a couple of paces, guys at the same university as him, and he wanted to do it, and he had a plan of how he was going to do it. And he did. 1:59.4, I think, was the time. Mm. And it was huge because it like broke through the ceiling. Now, a lot of like things in life, it's, people always say, it's impossible until it's not, or it's impossible until it's done. And they did that, and after that, a whole bunch of people beat the 4-minute mile. Now, if you can't break a 4-minute mile, you wouldn't even qualify for like the Commonwealth Games or like, I don't know, a varsity track team or whatever. So the idea was to take Eliud and say, right, we're going to give you a controlled environment. We're going to give you paces. We're going to actually create a track for you where this is possible. Nike then said, we're going to give you shoes that are going to propel you that much faster.
Ooh.
Everything's in his favor, but ultimately, he still needs to run 42 kilometers in less than 2 hours.
Oh.
Which is staggering. Jeez, it's like what? I mean, I
2 minutes, 53 seconds per kilometer.
For 42 kilometers.
And
you've got to
keep that up, for 42K.
Just I can't do that over like 100 meters.
I mean, like, I just put in very basic terms again. If you go to the gym today and you get on the treadmill and put it to its maximum speed, the fastest your treadmill can go. It isn't even as fast as this guy was going, and you do it for 2 hours.
That's crazy. That's a machine, Ben.
Now, everything about this guy is made for marathon running, of course. And so they had this track in Vienna, went through those lovely parks and gardens and stuff.
Yeah.
And his pace setters were in teams, and they had little moments where they would get up there just to make sure the pace was absolutely perfect. And this dude, he looked more fresh than all of them put together at the end. And then at the end, for that last kilometer, he basically told the guys, cool, fan out, I've got this. Mm-hmm. And he was pointing to the crowd, and he was smiling, and he was just the coolest, most relaxed guy. Crossed the line in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. So he still had, like, time to spare. He high-fived everyone, and then he sprinted back into the track to then go high-five all the fans, everybody that watched. And yes, it was contrived. Yes, it was a Nike marketing scheme, whatever. Ineos, who apparently is killing the world with chemicals, sponsored everything. So, like everything, people will shit on it because that's Twitter and that's social media for you. But this dude is, again, like, we will die one day.
How old is this dude, Ben?
I don't know. Late 20s. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Don't derail me with something I don't know. I'm trying to act very clever here. When we die, get to the end of our lives, whatever, this guy will be someone who stands out because this is human excellence in every kind of way, shape, or form. And I don't know, man. I don't know if he have tested his piss, but I don't think he's on drugs either. Although that's a massive talking point right now. In many ways, this is the best story for Nike because that Salazar dude who was feeding Mo Farah stuff, although Mo Farah, of course, didn't take drugs, according to Mo Farah. This is a nice sort of sideshow because here we've got excellence to contrast the drug stories.
I think someone here knows the age.
Yes, he's 34 years old. In fact, he'll be 35 on the 5th of November.
Because everyone was hanging on the story. It's like, Ben, this is all great, but I don't care until you tell me his age.
Problem with this was that the IAAF didn't recognize it, right? Because
of course not,
he had paces.
Controlled.
He had 40 paces, and he had a car showing him that green line, which was very cool, I thought.
Yeah. No, but the whole thing was, it was more science than sport.
But he did it.
It was definitely more show than but again, like sports entertainment. And at the end, the point is, like you say, he did it. He holds the marathon record, okay? So the marathon record wasn't broken because this was a controlled setting, not a competitive one. So the marathon record is still him at 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. So this is my only issue with this. And I know I spent a lot of time on this story. We've got to crack on. But there's too much of a big gap. The Roger Bannister reference that I made was pertinent because people then got on the track and they could do it. This guy has to kick off a minute 40 of his own greatness in an actual marathon setting to beat the 2 hour thing. A minute 40, and he's the greatest by some way. Look, I still think you're not going to ever see someone break 2 hours on an actual marathon track. Mm. But the important thing is here, he did it on this track. Mm-hmm. And that is history in my mind, right there. But now a woman. Because women also run before you look.
Oh, no.
Before you tell me differently.
Do they?
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
Now, you and C are very, very sort of sexist towards women's achievements in sport. But yesterday in Chicago, another Kenyan, Kenyans are good at running, Bridget Koskay, she shattered Paula Radcliffe's 16-year-old record in the marathon.
Jeez.
2 hours, 14 minutes, and 4 seconds. And yes, she had the Nike shoes that make you run faster. Wow. I tell you what, everyone's going to be wanting to wear these shoes.
Yeah.
I dislike Nike as a brand fundamentally. But yes, many people will go onto this. Gugu, this is the important part of the story. She is 25 years old. Before you, we're going to go into it. Koskay is 25. And I mean, Paula Radcliffe, she did this, I mean, obviously 16-year-old record, a long time before the Nike shoes gave her anything.
She had her own boost.
Yeah. I don't know how old Paula Radcliffe is, though, just in case you want to know.
We'll skip that one.
So like, that's a really big deal. Like marathon running obviously isn't the most exciting thing unless you run marathons. I mean, Anthony, you're a long-distance sports person.
Yeah.
And it's a really big deal. So the fact that we're going into new territory with this really is quite something to marvel at.
So the interesting thing about Paula Radcliffe is that everyone said she broke the record after having her first child. Because apparently women's hormones, because it's better to be an endurance sports person when you're older. And apparently the hormones produced when having children make you stronger.
Yeah,
so this one, I think, Bridget hasn't yet had children.
So literally what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's quite difficult to train when you're like 9 months pregnant, though.
But apparently the hormones make you stronger.
No, but it's, you know, like back in the Soviet days, the gymnast coaches used to impregnate the young gymnasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they would obviously abort when it came to like middle time.
Yeah.
Rough times back in those times.
Wow.
We're looking at girls maybe 14 to 16 years of age.
Getting impaled by old men.
Well, I was going to go with impregnated, but that's exactly where you are. Moving on. I tell you what, there are choir boys in gimp costumes less fucked than the Proteas right now. They don't know how to play cricket, and it's an unfortunate situation because I like cricket. Some other people like cricket. But when you're getting dicked by an innings and 137 runs with no chance of even getting a draw at any stage of this match, you look at yourself and go, where is SA cricket going? Well, I tell you what, someone who I have a lot of respect for with a lot of interaction and engagement with Cricket South Africa over the years said to me recently, I'm not going to give any names here or ages, but this person said that SA cricket has a very good chance of moving towards where Zimbabwe are if things aren't turned around drastically and quite soon. Now, I know that sounds like a big sweeping statement. It sounds very salacious and very controversial, but the depth in SA cricket domestically isn't that great. It just really isn't. So when guys like Dale Steyn, Hashim Amla, Eber de Villiers, Faf du Plessis, obviously next year, when these guys kick on, they need to be replaced.
If Hashim is useless, in my opinion, Ben. I'm not a sports fan, but
he's
I do
retired.
Watch cricket.
He's retired.
As he retired now. Yeah. Last time I watched, he was on there and he just sucked ass.
Yeah, latter stage of his career. Maybe this is more of a listening than a talking moment for you. But when these guys move away, we need replacements. We've got replacements coming in there who have no cooking clue what to do at international level. We are going to struggle on struggling. Because guys like Jacques Callis, guys like Eber de Villiers, all are great. They came into a position where we had settled teams. Okay, so as a debutant, as a young person, you can at least then thrive in a setting where there's a bit more happening than we're 36 for 3. Do you mind coming in here and scoring a debut 100? Those kind of things don't happen. And when you're playing against guys like Sharma, Pujara, Kohli, Ashwin, Jadeja, guys who know how to play cricket, plus they know how to play cricket in India, you are going to get absolutely trousered. Six love. So the Proteas have already lost the series. They've lost two tests in a row. They don't seem to know where they're going with their batting order. The top order just doesn't stick around. Eden Markram, who is meant to be the next big generational player, he faced all of four balls this last test. He got 0 and 0. It's sad. It is really sad because it's summer right now, right? And the Proteas are going to welcome the Yobs of England to our shores to play a test series. Then the Aussies are coming here as well. And right now, you kind of see why Eber de Villiers didn't want to be a Protea anymore. It must be quite difficult to play for these guys. But yeah, you know, we're losing players to Kolpak. The domestic levels aren't strong enough to give us the fresh talent. It is looking dire right now. Mm. Absolutely dire, Leanne.
Wow.
But Rugby World Cup...
Yes.
We are into the quarterfinal stages. Yes. Now, I have watched absolutely jack shit of this tournament after the box lost to New Zealand.
So disappointing.
Why? Did you just give up?
Well, there's this massive gap. And SA Namibia, what's that going to do for me? Okay, SA Canada, what's that going to do for me? So there have been a couple of good games. Look, the tournament's been lots of fun. The Japanese people have been amazing. Unfortunately, Typhoon Hibiscus rolled in and just cocked things up completely this weekend. So we didn't get to see England versus France. But at the same time, no biggie.
A lot of money must have been lost in that, though.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Wow. A lot of pissed off fans. I mean, if you're going to travel all the way there, Japan's far from everywhere.
Yes.
You travel all the way there to basically sit in a place and hopefully your typhoon doesn't kill you. It's not great. We didn't see New Zealand versus Italy. Also not like a massive loss. Anyway, the game that really needed to take place did take place. Japan versus Scotland. Now, Scotland, they were talking to lawyers. They were doing all kinds of things to say this game has to happen because their only chance of qualifying was if they were to thrash Japan. Ireland were technically top of the group after beating Samoa. So Scotland needed to win and win handsomely and prevent the host from doing anything. Well, Japan played like absolute little superstars. Sorry, that sounds derogatory. They played like absolute superstars and they beat them. They scored some scintillating tries. They got a bonus point and they topped their group. Beating Ireland, beating Scotland, they topped the group. They now go on to play SA on this side of the draw. France will then play Wales because France finished second in that group with Argentina fell away. And Wales, well, they were pretty much the best of a kind of average group with Australia and Fiji. On the other side of the draw, we've got Ireland versus New Zealand. Now, Ireland were meant to be SA's kind of team in the quarters from early predictions, but they didn't win Group A. New Zealand won their groups. So that's going to be the big thing. And then Australia take on England. Now, this is the perfect World Cup draw. Now, to look at when those games are going to take place, Saturday, Australia versus England. Going to back England as favourites in that one. But it's always great because it's the old foes coming together. Michael Checker, the Rottweiler coach of Australia, is going to get frothy up around the mouth parts. And Eddie Jones is going to bait him with a whole bunch of snide comments. Fantastic match, 12:15 on Saturday. Also on Saturday is... 9:15 Saturday. Also Saturday will be the Ireland-New Zealand game. Of course, Ireland has the best track record against New Zealand in recent years. They've beaten them a couple of times, and there could be the thorn in their side there. Wait, I've totally cocked this up.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Take yes, your
I haven't.
Time,
no,
Ben.
I haven't. No, I haven't. Those,
take your time.
Those are your Saturday games.
Okay, cool.
Saturday games.
Yes.
Sunday, we've got France versus Wales, which is the least interesting of all of them because France are shite at rugby right now. They're kind of like the Proteas of rugby. God, sounds horrible, but that's what it is. They'll be at 9:15, and then 12:15 on Sunday. Get your drinking gear together because SA versus Japan in Tokyo. Now, it'll be a shame to see the hosts go out, but I think the Boks do have the firepower. We'll get into this more later in the week. But I think if SA beats Japan now in the quarters, then Japan then basically follow SA to the final.
Mm-hmm.
All that home support. Got to wrap this up now. In Formula One, Bottas won in Japan. And that means that Mercedes now the championship, construction championship, car maker, whatever, champions. It was always going to happen. Vettel was second, Hamilton was third. And Coco Gauff, who seems to have been 15 for about an eternity now. She did very well in Wimbledon. She beat Venus, her old hero. She went on to win her first WTA title. She beat Zhulena Ostapenko. So Gugu, a 15-year-old, won a big major tournament. Hmm. She's the next big superstar. One of
15-year-old.
And that is your sport for today. I hope you enjoyed that. There was a lot. I had to really pinch it off. I could have gone on for days.
No, I'm glad you did.
But I couldn't. But I couldn't because we've got better things to get into. It is Monday. It is the money. And it feels like I've never left because Anthea is here and so is Adonis Summers. Right, Anthea, what's going on in the money?
Good morning, Ben. Where do you want me to start? With sport in the economy or with why Ramaphosa is visiting London?
Well, it'd be like Leanne, just take all the sport away from me. Whatever you like, Anthea. Whatever you like.
Shall we start with China banning the NBA viewing in their media? Because
this is a big deal, yeah.
The general manager of the Houston Rockets basketball team tweeted something that he didn't, that the Chinese government didn't like about the Hong Kong protests. Which, by the way, I think is not nearly as funny as them banning Winnie the Pooh a couple of months ago. But now
South Park are really getting into this. For their 300th episode, they've really got stuck into the Chinese in this.
And then they also banned South Park. I mean, it's quite funny. It's silly, really. And so the reason we're looking at China at the moment is because there was a Chinese delegation in Washington this weekend. And we actually thought that nothing was going to come of it because so many things happened. First of all, the Chinese delegation said that they had already booked earlier flights home. The U.S. banned some of the officials from visiting. In other words, didn't give them visas. We had this NBA issue. Of course, Donald Trump's tweet didn't help much. I mean, I cannot believe this.
What was his tweet?
It's funny how that line there could be added to so many different stories and works.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Donald Trump's tweet didn't help matters either.
He said, "As I have stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. I've done before." What is wrong with this man? So because Turkey is an emerging market economy and South Africa is an emerging market economy, traders got really nervous and suddenly sold off all emerging market economies, currencies. So our currency struggled a bit at the beginning of last week. But then by Thursday, Friday, we'd all forgotten about it and they were buying South African rands again. Although it wasn't terrible for us. We did end on a positive note. Equities or our stock market did end on a positive note. So it wasn't
Just side question. Should currencies be traded like they are? They're not enough to trade out there. I mean, why are currencies traded as well? Because that creates volatility, which doesn't exactly help or does it?
So volatility is always good because it gives you the opportunity to make money, says the trader.
Yeah, I know, I'm talking about the consumer who suddenly, because someone said something, the rand is now worth less, now I've got to pay more. Like, why must I suffer
as a
that?
Consumer, should you be trading currencies? Hell no.
No, I'm saying, like, as a consumer, why must I suffer from currencies being traded?
Because the currency is the base of investments and trade, right? So the traders don't willy-nilly just trade currencies mostly. They do it either to hedge their portfolios or to get exposure if something goes wrong. So if I've got a portion of your offshore money invested, let's say, in the US, and I think the dollar is going to strengthen, then that's fine. But if I think the dollar is going to weaken, I would sell dollars and get rands to hedge out any volatility or change in your investment in the US. So currencies basically are a hedge and also for trading. So if I'm buying, importing something from the US or from China or wherever, then I would have to buy US dollars or Chinese yuan or renminbi or whatever the case may be. So that's why currencies are traded so much. For you as a consumer, I know this is such a bone of contention. There's lots of packages about make lots of money trading Forex. Oof, that's a dangerous game.
Oh yeah, no, I just thought like there's so many different things you can trade on. It's like you always hear these things about someone says something, does something, and suddenly our rand goes to shit. I just think it's unfair.
Oh, shame. It's unfair.
I know.
That's life. Yeah.
I miss my quarter life crisis.
Catching up now.
You're upset about stuff.
And then why is Ramaphosa in London? Well, a couple of weeks ago, he put together a new advisory committee. And I don't know all of them. A lot of them seem academic. Two of them I do know, though. Two youngsters. Youngsters, or younger than me, so that doesn't make them youngsters. But they're both great economists. Wandile Sishlobo is an agricultural economist, and Thabi Leoka is a doctor of economics. And I know them both. They're absolutely brilliant, so I'm very chuffed with this. And then on Monday...
Sorry, hang a second. But has he implemented a execution committee? Because I don't think advice is a problem we have in this country. I mean, you could call him up right now and advise him in 2 minutes of what to do. Does he have an implementation committee?
So before that, I think it was August, he put together a blueprint for a new plan. And I can't remember what the new plan was. It might have been called the blueprint or something.
The New Economic Dawn.
Was that what it was called? Oh, thank you, Ben.
No, but close enough. Making that up.
But listen, since 1994, we've had the Reconstruction and Development Plan, the Growth, Employment and Redistribution Plan, the Accelerated and Shared Growth Initiative, the New Growth Plan, the New Develop or the National Development Plan, NDP, and then this one in August.
See, so it's all these advisories, but there's no execution plans.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So nothing. So those are supposed to be the execution plans, but they just don't come into fruition.
Yeah. Anthony, I'm even paying attention and I can see the flaws here.
And then last week, Monday, you know he's now got this new newsletter that he puts out to the nation, and he talks from the desk of Ramaphosa, right? From the desk of the president. Sure. Last week, he wrote about the African Continental Free Trade Area or agreement. And he was saying that how South Africa is going to benefit as the most industrialized economy on the continent and blah, blah, blah. And so I think he's gone off to London, the point of all of this, to sell all of this.
So that's his sell.
Yeah. Huh. He's selling development and growth and plans and advisory committees and give me money and I'll trust and invest in South Africa. It'll be fine.
So he always says.
Well, he's a politician. He kind of has to, though, yeah, doesn't he?
Well... paint me cynical. I'm not overly sold in that one, Cyril. I think there's a lot of things you need to shore up before you can get the Hail Mary pass of becoming this industrial marvel of the African continent. I mean, the bar is quite low because a lot of countries here have fucked things up tremendously, historically and currently.
The shame of it is, of course, historically, that South Africa used to be the fastest growing economy or the biggest economy on the continent, and we're not that anymore either. So we do need to do something.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah. And then in company news, we had Clicks putting out a trading statement saying that earnings would come in higher than previously guided, between 15 and 18%. They previously guided to between 10 and 15%, which is great in this environment. I mean, there were a few distractions or detractions, I think, from that number. But judging by the price action after the announcement, the share was up 11%. Investors in this country are desperate for good news stories at this stage. It's unbelievable to see that happen. I mean, Clicks has always been what we call perfectly priced, or in layman's terms, expensive. But hey, we're still buying it as investors. And then Impala Platinum, which, as you know, is a platinum mining company.
Yeah, got that.
Said last week that they'd agreed to acquire 100% of Northern American Palladium. They're paying $758, huh?
Palladium?
That was shoes?
Not shoes, Ben. It's a metal, isn't it?
How did you get shoes?
Yeah, how did you get from shoes,
Palladium
Ben?
To Palladium's shoes? Palladium's a shoe brand.
No, Ben, can't.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Sorry, I think I...
Ben,
then
I
you're
think
thinking
is,
out loud.
I think this is a time when you should listen and not speak.
It's not a talking moment.
It's not a talking moment, Ben.
So rhodium and palladium are the other metals used in catalytic converters for new cars. And so they, of course, will benefit from tightening emissions legislation in places like China, India, Europe, North America. Is it a good idea for Impala Platinum at this stage of the cycle, which a lot of people think are the peak, is the peak of the commodity cycle, to be spending 11.4 billion rand on a palladium company? And it's a Canadian-based company, by the way. I think it's okay. So they generate, on average, annualized about 12 billion rand free cash flow per annum. Last reporting, they were sitting on a billion rand in free in cash, net cash. Okay, which is still short of 10 billion rand. But they're going to get that from bridging or finance from Morgan Stanley. They're going to sell some shares. They're going to do a whole lot of things to raise this money. So they should be fine. I think it's a great move for them to diversify out of platinum into palladium metal, not shoes. then sell C. I mean, there's so
it's gonna
many.
Be so funny. You meet a shopping mall and you're gonna see palladium and you go.
I can't wait to see. I'm gonna go and look it
no,
up.
Actually,
what do you
I,
mean?
I just googled it and it does exist, Ben. I've seen those shoes before. Those funny bootleg shoes.
Exactly. If you own a pair, that joke would have been funny. If not, then move on. So
anyway,
you win something, lose something in life.
Am I moving on to Celsi?
Sorry,
yes. Please do.
Go ahead.
Lots of news about Celsi. So you can't actually get access directly or exposure to Celsi because they're not listed, but they are owned 45% by Blue Label Telecom, which put out results a while ago, fairly disastrous. They've completely written down their investment in Celsi. And last week, there were just stories abounding about maybe China Mobile coming in and rescuing Celsi. And now there's stories about maybe Telkom circling and potentially buying Celsi. And then the last story was that Celsi are selling down a whole lot of assets. I think potentially there's a good network that they use or a customer base that Celsi could potentially sell down. But other than that, I can't imagine why any other telecoms company would want to buy their assets. So you're looking to start a mobile business?
Not anytime soon, Ben.
Doesn't seem appealing to me.
No, because you've got so much competition, right? You've got Rain. It's just unbelievable. And then Mondi released a trading update for their third quarter. So normally South African companies only release statements or financial statements twice a year. But if you're in the US, you have to do it four times a year. And Mondi is listed offshore, US and Europe, sorry. And so they released their third quarter trading update. EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, is down 18%, which is a bit of a shocker. And a number of things: weaker demand, lower selling prices, they're lowering the forestry value that they own. A couple of things, but still, you know, it's not a terrible share. They're fairly consistent in what they do. And they are moving out of just plain packaging into recycled packaging. And their cardboard box business, corrugated cardboard, as they call it, really has done particularly well because now we're all ordering online and we're getting our deliveries in cardboard boxes. Funny that, eh? So it's on a 9.6 times forward multiple, which is relatively cheap, 5% dividend yield. And in South Africa, to get cash in hand or a decent dividend is actually quite hard to do. It's not hugely exciting, but it's not terrible either. So if you want to buy kind of Mondi shares and put it in your bottom drawer, that's probably not a bad play.
All right.
Not much happening in South Africa again this week, but it is US reporting season. People like Charles Schwab, Netflix are reporting this week. We're always excited about that. I'm not sure why, really.
Well, they've got big pressure coming up with Mickey Mouse, basically.
That's right. Disney are competing. Yeah. You have been watching the news.
I just pick up the important pieces out here.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. It's all about subscriber numbers and whether or not they can maintain their competitive pricing structure.
Yeah, I'm still amazed by that because they put a lot of money into production because they have to. So, yeah, it's interesting to see how that does kick on. Is that it for your Monday?
That's it. Thanks,
fantastic,
guys.
Fantastic. Anthea, thanks so much. Back next Monday.
Thanks, Anthea.
And, the first hour has run on a bit, but we started on time. It's now 7:10 if you're listening live. If you're listening via podcast, well, I suggest you listen to the next podcast as well because it's going to involve Leanne. It's going to involve Gugu. It's going to involve me. and a whole bunch of stories. And messages. Thank you for so many messages. I haven't got through them just yet.
So, oh, Ben, why aren't you reading the messages, Ben?
Well, so much of.
I mean, because...
It's been a bit of a tight hour.
Okay, so I'm going to have a little musical interlude here while we find where the air conditioning remote is and I get some water because it is hot as fuck in this studio right now.
CliffCentral.com.